You're fine. What tune is that? No, I wanted to, you know, people were asking me, I was getting texts, what tune is that? No, no worries. But it was kind of fun adventure. All right, so this past week, I had to do some traveling. Justin and I actually went up to New York, and when we were leaving New York, like, you know, the storm that was, when we were going up to New York, you know, the storm that came, was it Beryl? Is that the name, Beryl? So they're calling for all these tornadoes, up in North Pennsylvania, up into New York. And so I was listening to all these thoughts and theories on tornadoes, and actually, so this guy called in this radio station, and he said, you know, actually on the East Coast, tornadoes are increasing, and do you know why? Do you know why they're increasing on the East Coast? The scientific data says that with all the new traffic circles, people are going around these traffic circles too fast. So it's causing these disturbances in the atmosphere and causing tornadoes. So that was one theory of why tornadoes now have increased on the East Coast. And then did you hear about the new movie that's coming out about tornadoes? At the end of it, there's a really big twist. So when that comes out, just watch out for that one. And then, do you know what a tornado's favorite game to play is? Twister. Okay, that was a good, you had to get that one. And then you ever watch one of those movies, videos where they have a tornado and it gets a cow? Do you ever see those where a cow is caught up in the, do you know what they call that cow? A milkshake. And it just yeah, that's a good one. All right, so anyway. So I'm sure those jokes today blew you away, and we'll be good with that. So last week, or last time we met, we talked about the spiritual realm that we started on. And we talked about, and we were in Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians again today. Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. Okay, stand 1 through 14. That's where we'll be, not 1. But wanted to step back when we started looking at that, about how we as believers, how we as people have Christians, look at that spiritual realm and what scripture tells us as believers, put on the full armor of God. So I wanted to just kind of pull the next couple of weeks of really look at the armor of God that we should have on as believers. So that's what we're looking at today. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for just the time that we can worship you. Lord, help us to concentrate on you. Lord, speak to us this morning about how we can better live for you, how we can better serve you. Teach us, Lord, about your armor that we need to put on better, that sometimes we take our armor off. Sometimes we put it to the side. Sometimes we even forget it's and that we're to wear it. Lord, really, show us, help us to understand these spiritual dimensions that we're up against that you tell us about in Scripture, and how to combat those things, and give us wisdom, Lord, as we look into your word about what you tell us to put on. In your name we pray. Amen. Armor of God. So, Ephesians, we're looking at Ephesians. And we'll start in Ephesians. We're going to start in Ephesians 6. We're going to jump around once again. But in Ephesians, so the last time we met, we talked about the putting on the full armor of God, and we talked about the spiritual activities that are taking place all around us. It's not against flesh and blood, right? We're in battle and struggles against these spiritual heavenly realms that this stuff's taking place in. And so my question was, when we looked at Daniel, because we went then back to Daniel and looked at Daniel, of he prayed to God, God sent an angel, the angel was detained, and okay, so we know there's this, angels can be detained and the demons can detain angels. And so all this spiritual realm that takes place that we forget about happening in our world and in our, in not just our dimension, but other dimensions that we cannot see. For instance, when we looked at Daniel, when the angel was detained by the prince of Persia, that demonic force over Persia, what demonic force is over America? I mean, if all these countries and all these in the spiritual realm, that there's these spirits and demons that sit over, because we know what controls the world, right? And and we see it through scripture, there's this dimension and this hierarchy of evil that takes place, and it sits over countries, and there's these domains. So what about America? I mean, we've looked at America, of how America was founded as a godly Christian nation, and look how far we have come, that we're a promoter of all sorts of wickedness throughout the world at the same time. Yet the church is still pushing to say and to uphold Christ. And now we find churches even that are backing off of truth and teaching false lies, right? So we see that taking place. So what? We know that's out there. We know there has to be that. Scripture tells us that. We saw it with Persia, with Daniel. So my question was, when we looked at that, if we pray and if we're out there as believers, so Daniel went to prayer and the angel was detained. What happens then if we go to prayer as believers and we don't hear the answer or get the help that we need right away because an angel or however things are working in the spiritual realm, the heavenly realms, that our help is detained? What are we to do? Scripture is clear on, guys, believers, put on the full armor of God. How many times as little kids? So I've always, as I go through, I walk through the classrooms. I continue to pray for this church every week. And so I always saw this in the kids' classroom, and I always loved this one, right? How many times as a little kid in VBS or whatever, that you learned about the full armor of God? And we always talked about the full armor of God. So I always went up there in the classroom, and I saw, so Karen, it's missing off the wall upstairs. So I pulled it. So if it's missing, it's right down here. It's going to be down here for a couple of weeks. So Roger, okay, as you're doing your rounds. So today, the very first one we're going to look at is the belt of truth. And this, we're going to go over this for a couple of weeks, because I really want to hone in, because this is something that we need to know, something that we need to teach our family, something, things that we need to tell other people about. Because if we're a believer, this is what we have to have on, especially now in today's world, because we see evil activity increasing and increasing and increasing, and not just from the standpoint of deception, but now we see evil way more than deception in just the world, but we see it filtering into the church and to doctrine and to people's thought process of who Jesus Christ is and the meaning of Christ. So the armor of God. There, I had it here so we could, this might fall. What do you think? Okay. Not perfect? You can see that? Yeah. All right. So that was my question of how does this look for the believer? We're going to just start in Ephesians 6. 10, and we're going to end in 14 and then concentrate on 14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, everybody in here, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, which we talked about that the other week. Therefore, everybody in here, myself included, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not that it might not, when it's not, it might come, it might not come, it's coming. That's what scripture says. So when the day of evil comes, it's coming. You may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand, verse 14, after you have stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We're going to stop with that. We're going to look at the belt of truth. A belt. In Roman society at the time, when this was being written, the belt Roman, and some people say, yeah, we have like little belts, right? And we have all sorts of, heck, my kids used to put in their shoestrings and tie, that was their belt. I was like, what, that's not a belt. That's a shoestring. That's, come on, get a belt. So anyhow, so you have a belt. In the Roman time, they had these belts, and the military personnel, their belt was their symbol of, I am powerful. The Roman soldier's belt was worn at all times. If, and I, matter of fact, there was, it was a crime punishable by death or some type of punishment in the Roman society. If you wouldn't, let's say a military guy walked into a restaurant or whatever they had, the local tavern there or whatever, and they made them take their belt off. No, they had to wear their belts all the time. That was their symbol. That was their mark of being a warrior. The belt. The belt was a high place. All right, sorry. The belt was a high place of honor for the Roman soldier. And we're told to put on the belt of truth. So what is that belt of truth? The belt of truth. Ephesians 1:13, if you jump back a couple pages in Ephesians, it says this, Ephesians 1:13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, once you believe, get this, this is what we have to remember. Once you believe, having believed, you have been marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. First off, as we are to put on the full armor of God. Look at the world as humanity. So right now we hear, especially in like Louisiana, they're trying to put, they put in a law into Louisiana about having the Ten Commandments in every school that's publicly funded. So every school from kindergarten through college, they're putting in the Ten Commandments, right? Which is a good thing. It shows what? It shows morality. It shows you don't kill people. You don't be a sniper that's trying to, you know, you, the Ten Commandments are God's laws for humanity, like how we should be living, and those are good things. But do the Ten Commandments, they can affect someone's moral clarity, right? Help them to see things of how to live, but does it make them a believer? Does it make them a Christian? So all these things for humanity, the armor of God, can all humanity put on the armor of God? No. They can if they do this first. The very first thing here in the armor of God is to put on the belt. The belt is right here in verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked as a Christian the very first thing to put on the armor of God is to be a believer. We have to be marked with the Holy Spirit. If we don't have that mark, just like the soldiers in Rome at the time, the soldiers were the ones with the belts on. Their belt was their mark. That was their symbol, and they wore that with pride, and they wore that with, look at me, I am a Roman soldier. And that was what they looked at. And that's the same thing for us as believers. Now, on this poster, it's a little bit different. It says the belt of truth keeps us from giving into the world's beliefs, which it does, right? Comparing your beliefs and actions to the truth of the Word of God, which it does, right? It does do that with truth. But the truth that Scripture is talking about here is the mark. This truth of who Jesus is. If we do not have Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we can't even begin to put on the full armor of God. Because the first thing to put on is truth. Truth. What does Jesus say about truth? Should I go there? Yeah, we'll go there right now, and then I'm going to come back. John 14:6. You can jump there. I'm just going to read it quick. John 14:6 says, Jesus speaking. And Jesus says in John 14:6, and we all know this verse. We've probably read it many times. And maybe we shouldn't have it memorized, but this is what Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through who? Me. Except through Jesus Christ. He's saying, I am the way. The early church was known as the way, wasn't it? And then Jesus says, I am the truth. Jesus Christ is truth. We see in Ephesians that once we believe, we are marked. So without the mark of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in our life, our being, who we are, and from until we believe who Jesus Christ is as our Savior, the armor of God won't work for. We can be moral. We can see the Ten Commandments. We can be a good person. Can we put on the full armor of God? And that's what this whole thing is, because Scripture tells us to fight these things that we're looking at in the spiritual realm. We need to put on the full armor of God, and that starts with truth, the truth. In John 8:32, and a lot of people talk about this, because when you talk about the world, you talk about the world saying how true things are, where truth is, what truth is. Even this thing here, or the poster here, talks about the truth of comparing what reality is to what Scripture says. That's definitely true. But the truth that Scripture is talking about here is Jesus Christ in our life. People kind of change that around and twist it, and we'll see it with this. John 8:32 says this, which I'm sure you know this verse too, because you see it a lot. Jesus said, I'm going to start in verse 31. The Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many times do we hear that? You see that in education. You see that in colleges where people say, and the truth will set you free. Come to our college. Harvard, you can see Harvard. Come to our college, because the truth that you're going to learn here will set you free. And they take the meaning out of context. You see at the CIA building. Have you ever been down to the CIA building? Or do you know the motto of the CIA? On the CIA building, carved on in their foyer, it says this verse. It says, no one can, no, it doesn't say that. I'm in the wrong spot. It says, 8:30, I lost my place. I want to read it exactly as it says. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's their motto. That's engraved, which, hey, they can engrave it into our federal building, but then they have problems having the Ten Commandments in schools. Don't get me going that side. But the motto is, the truth will set you free. Meaning for the CIA is, we know the truth. We're going to find out the truth, and the truth is going to set us free as Americans, and we're going to have this glorious knowledge because we know this stuff, because the truth has set us free. That's kind of what they imply. But what does Scripture teach about what truth is, the belt of truth, that belt isn't about the information of, we know what Iran's planning to do to Israel, or we know what's going to be taking place in this domestic attack. It's not about that truth. And it's not about the truth that educators say, well, we know science, and we know that these things are taking place, so we're more knowledgeable. We have this knowledge and this truth that can only be found in our government, or can only be found in our education principles. That's not what Jesus was saying. And they take it, and the deception that we talk about, right? The deception that Satan uses to take Jesus' own words and twist them, to put that spiritual deception, that spiritual trickery onto what Jesus actually meant. In today's society, I was looking at this because we talk about truth. There's actually, do you know, there's actually four truths today. Did you know that? I mean, years ago, there used to be the truth. You know, I wanted to bring a sledgehammer. If I had a sledgehammer, I forgot it's in my garage. The sledgehammer. Okay, so out of the four truths that people look at today, this is actually like, this is what people think. There's four truths. There's objective truth, normative truth, subjective truth, and complex truth. There's four different truths. How many growing up was there as a truth? Like, to me, when I grew up, there was the truth, right? One truth. Now there's four truths. And you get to pick which one. This is what they say. The four truths. They use them as a model and a method, and it provides you a way to consider multiple perspectives and then identify the one that best fits your purpose. Well, what's truth? Well, what best fits your purpose? So I wanted to bring a sledgehammer. And knowing, okay, Jim, when you were a carpenter and you hit your finger with a sledgehammer, did it hurt? Yeah, it got smacked. So the truth behind a sledgehammer hitting your finger is you smash your finger. Well, Dick, what happens if you don't agree with that truth? Would it smash your finger because you don't agree with that truth? That's what they're saying. So the truth is, if you have a sledgehammer and you smack your finger with it, you're going to smash your finger. The truth doesn't, there's not four different truths. There's the truth and there's stupidity, right? Because if you think you're going to hit your finger and you're going to be fine, you're just dumb. I don't know what else to say. There's one truth. Our society has taken truth and has bent truth to mean different things when actual fact is truth. And Jesus meant what he said in scripture of, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. No man comes to the Father, no man, except through me. The truth. That's the truth. So the truth that the belt, the armor of God, the first thing of the armor of God that we put on is the belt. Once we put that belt on, once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and it doesn't matter if you're baptized or not, belief in Jesus Christ, and you're marked with the Holy Spirit. Once you're marked, the truth, you now have the belt of truth on. That belt is on. Not four different truths. So unless you are a believer, you can't even begin to put on the armor of God. And that is what we know is where we need to have to fight and combat the spiritual domain. We need the armor of God. That's what scripture tells us. Ephesians. I'm sorry. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The truth came through Jesus Christ. Once again, it's just clarifying the truth of Jesus Christ. That belief of us as believers, for us to put on that full armor, has to start with Jesus Christ as our Savior. If we don't have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we cannot begin to put on the full armor of God. Going back to Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We have to stand in that truth buckled around our waist. If we do not have that, all our moral capacity of, if we had the Ten Commandments written down all over, tattooed all over our body, if we don't have Jesus Christ, if humanity, if a person doesn't have Jesus Christ, they can't start the process of the full armor of God. Which the full armor of God, what we see here is how we defend against the spiritual activity taking place. Romans 1 through 8. Romans 8. Sorry, I'm jumping around a lot. We're going to be pretty much finishing with this one. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free. The law from the Spirit of life set me free, set you free. What set the truth shall set you free, right? The truth shall set you free. Jesus Christ being the truth sets us free. Continuing, going back to 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. From the law of sin and death. Because we all know, and some people don't know this, but hopefully if you're sitting in this church, you know that we were born into sin. We were born in that domain of sin as a sinful person because we were born into sin. We were not born into Christ Jesus. We were born into sin. Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. Romans 8 says the same thing. What sets us free from the sin and death is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at those different examples and we look at truth and we looked at many people that think where society can be moral, right? And I'm not saying that the Ten Commandments posted in every school and every place around the world would be a good thing. Absolutely. It would be a great thing. And that would provide knowledge, a moral boundary, and a moral knowledge of what God and how he wants us to live. But does it give us the truth, the belt of truth? The belt of truth can only be given by Jesus Christ being in our life. That's the only way we can get and start with the armor, that belt of truth. How many people do we know that are struggling? How many people do we know in our family, neighbors, friends, maybe people that were in the church or are in the church or other people that we know of in other churches that are struggling, and maybe they don't have the first start of the armor of God? Do they know Jesus Christ? Not to say I'm a moral person. Not to say, well, I've always been a Christian. Well, have you? Do you have the belt of truth on? Have you been marked? Have you put your faith, your firm belief in Jesus Christ? We heard Gavin say it at the baptism. When he accepted Jesus Christ. And we heard testimonies in here from many of you when you have said, when I believed and gave my life to Jesus Christ, at that moment, bam, marked. The belt of truth now is all of a sudden on your waist. That belt of truth. We have family members that might say, I'm a believer. But are they? I can't answer that. You can't answer that. We can ask them, when have you accepted Jesus Christ? Well, I was always a Christian. It's our responsibility, church, right? And especially with loved ones. If we have loved ones that we are not sure that they know Jesus Christ or not, right here, we just are trying to help our Christian brothers, our family members to understand, to battle what we are battling against, we first have to be a Christian. We have to be saved to even begin to put on the armor. The belt of truth. The belt of truth is the armor that starts with, and it's Jesus Christ, the gospel, the salvation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. Scripture talks about that as being the beginning of our armor. The beginning of our armor. And we see it we see these things picking up, and Jen mentioned this morning, and I wasn't planning on really talking about this other than praying for it, but when I read the statement from President Trump this morning, it kind of put out there to me again what we're up against. And honestly, I don't know how close President Trump is with the Lord. He says he's a Christian. I'm holding to that. I mean, we all know people have passed and have had lives that we don't agree with. And you look at things and you're like, okay, but people change. Salvation of Jesus Christ can change people. This is what he said this morning as he was, he said, it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening. We will fear not, but instead remain resilient in our faith and defiant in the face of wickedness. Wickedness. Even this man, our old president, he sees the wickedness. Because it's a different dimension now, and that's what we're not playing with. That's what we're in. Because Scripture has told us from the beginning that it's not this like easy human playing field that we're in, and we forget that. We forget the wickedness and the evil that is taking place around us. He goes on to say, in this moment, it is more important than ever that we stand united and show our true character as Americans. He says this, remaining strong and determined and not allowing evil to win. He talks about two things, wickedness and evil, which we know, we see in Scripture, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against wickedness. And it's against evil. Do we have on the full armor? So, today, if you do not have on the belt, it starts with the belt of truth. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we're starting here because that's where the belt starts, the armor. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day you better get to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. To put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, to take away my sin. And I believe that and hold to it and trust it and Jesus be my Savior. That's what happened to the thief on the cross, right? He didn't go through all sorts of hoops and all sorts of stuff. He believed and Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. He was marked instantaneously. I believe in Jesus Christ. He was marked. Are you marked? I'm marked. Praise God, I'm marked. Right? Praise God that we know people that they're marked. And yet we have family members or other people that we know or we don't think that are marked. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, talk to me afterwards. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we see this belt of truth. We know that you are truth, Lord. Your truth. We see that this belt that we are to put on with this armor that is the beginning of building this armor that defends us from spiritual activity in the heavenly realms, Lord. You show us what we need to do with this armor. And so many times we don't as people, don't listen to you. Lord, give us wisdom if we're marked in here, if we are believers, if we have the belt of truth on. Help us this week to make sure those around us understand, if they don't already have the belt of truth, that they will understand your salvation, that they will understand that we need you as our Savior. You, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life. And you have come here to set us free from our sin. Help us to remind people around us of that truth. Not the four different truths that who knows what they are, Lord, but the truth of you as being our Savior. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our spirits if we are with somebody prompt us to open our mouth to those around us to speak this truth. Help us this week, Lord. Guide us this week. Lord, we lift your name up. We pray and we continue to pray for this church. We continue to pray for truth to be spoken at this church and to reach people in this community. Guide us. Give us strength. Thank you for all the people in here, Lord. We pray for President Trump and we pray for President Biden and we pray for these men. Give them wisdom, godly wisdom. In your name we pray. Amen.